We head there now. Joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. What's up, Ray?
I am in Carolina. I'm with Super Director Franklin, and he's trying not to get me lost in this building, and because I never hear. And so I think I'm ready to go. You know, excited. Big game.
Well, it is a big game. And we were talking, actually, you know what? We haven't brought up Tom Dundon, the owner of the Canes, was on Leafs Lunch.
Yeah, he wants expanded playoffs. I wonder why, because your team just misses.
But I was actually pretty impressed with the guy. Like, I think, you know, he's been labeled this maverick, this, you know, he wears Lululemons to the Board of Governors and whatever. But he was talking about promoting the Stars, and we were just talking about McDavid. And he's like, I think earlier this year, last year, the Oilers were in town, and he's like, there was nothing, nobody in our city, nobody in our state is talking about the most exciting player in the league. I don't know whose job that is. Maybe it's his job. Maybe it's people in Carolina's job. Maybe it's Bettman and the owner's job collectively, but I think he's got a case.
I live down there, and the grocery stores are called Harris Teeter. If you go into a Harris Teeter and said, Connor McDavid's coming to Carolina, they would be like,
who is that guy?
What the hell are you talking about? So what are you going to do?
Well, that's the debate. That's the question.
Well, I mean, he bought the team here. That's his, you know, that's his marketing department. That has to be the, you know, I'm agreeing. Like, that's got to be his focus, right? Is to get people to notice, get people to understand, get people to, you know, to be involved in the team. The problem is, and O would know it, living here, it's like, this is basketball big. Like, basketball's first, second, third, and fourth, and then I don't know where hockey would be on the list. Like, it is way down the chain. And, oh, you're talking about asking, you know, you go in the grocery store. When I got to Atlanta, you know, in the South, you'd see people driving around with number 99 on their, you know, on the back window of their truck. And I'd be like, man, why do they have Gretzky's number there?
No, Dale Jarrett.
Jeff Burton. Or, yeah. Jeff Burton. And then I go, oh, number three, that was Dale Earnhardt. And there was Jeff Gordon, rather. And so you're either a Jeff Gordon guy or a Dale Earnhardt guy. But nobody was a Thrasher guy, which is why they ended up in Winnipeg.
No, you know what, though, Ray? I have no sympathy. I can understand where he's coming from, that he'd like a little more help from the league. But, dude, it's on you to try and change that marketplace. You bought that. You bought that franchise. You knew going in what you were purchasing. Dude, you can't buy a 65 Chevy and, you know, and think you're getting a Cadillac. It is what it is.
Well, he bought this team. One of the reasons he bought it, which is why, you know, businessmen with large amounts of money buy things, is because they see growth. They see where they can make more money at it. He didn't buy it because, oh, gee, it would be a swell thing to do. He bought it because he's like, man, they make no revenues there. I got to be able to, you know, to punch revenues through on this. And that's why you buy this team, and that's why you do your best to make it exciting and do your best to make it more noteworthy. And he's 30 games in here, and I'm interested to see what, you know, what it all looks like tonight, like what it, you know, what the crowd looks like. And because I, you know, the last time I was here was early last season, so, you know, completely new, different team. But mm-hmm. The one thing that they have done is, and it still is always the thing that is an anchor to teams, is, you know, like, every dollar matters here, right? And so this year, if you look at the Hurricanes, they lead the league in shots by, you know, hundreds, and they don't score any goals comparatively. And in the offseason, they traded Jeff Skinner for two draft picks and a prospect in Cliff Pugh. Well, that saved $6 million. And then they made the trade with Calgary because they had to trade, or they had to sign both Elias Lindholm and Noah Hanifin. Mm-hmm. That was one of the reasons I would suspect those two guys went out. That, so if you round it, that's about $10 million in salary. And Dougie Hamilton came back with Michael Ferland, and that saved another $4 million. So in theory, they, you know, they're down 35 goals because it's in Buffalo and it's in Calgary, in Skinner and Hanifin, or Skinner and Lindholm, and they saved about $8 million. So you can't talk about, oh, gee, we don't score enough. Oh, we play hard, we don't finish. You traded two finishers.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, that's what you get.
Yeah, 100%.
Which never, I mean, I don't know the inner workings of it, but it never made sense. A team that could never score, why you were going to trade the guys who actually can on your team. And now they're just in the middle ground. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, I guess they're competitive in the division, but now Pittsburgh's starting to rock again, and they've moved back up, and you know Washington's going to be there, and I think Columbus is going to be there, so I'm not expecting Carolina to be a playoff team, but they're not going to be bottom two or three. They're not fighting for Jack Hughes. So on the ice, I'm not expecting big changes in the next year or two in terms of the actual success. I just don't know. I don't see it.
And then, if you're in a market like this, and again, Jeff would know, is like you need somebody they can hang their hat on. Like Sebastian Aho is a fantastic player, but he's not. You know, he's not a Line A Matthews. A McDavid. Where do you get those guys? You get them by bottoming out. The problem is, if you bottom out here, is anybody going to be at the games while you're trying to get better? And so they're always in a catch 22 in a spot like this when they're trying to rebuild.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I couldn't care less about Carolina.
All right. Let's
to be
talk
honest
about
with you, can we talk
team?
About the Leafs a well, little bit? Talk about a team that's second overall.
Let's get into the high. We talked yesterday about the suspension, but now the impact of him not being in the lineup. You know, he's a guy, he's somewhat polarizing up here. I don't know why. I mean, he works hard. He's a battler. He chips in. Like, he's a blue-collar guy, and this is kind of a white-collar city. But when it comes to the Leafs, people have always had an appreciation for these type of players. But I think if you feel like he's not an impactful guy, you're going to realize it tonight and certainly on Thursday in Tampa.
Well, much of the discussion has been about whether the Leafs are hard enough or heavy enough or tough enough, and there goes one of your guys that can be like that. Like, every time I played on a line that was really good, I had a guy like Zach Hyman and a guy that could shoot. Like, to me, that was the best of the best. And so you need somebody to get you the puck. You need somebody to grind away. Like, if I played on a line with O, we would like a guy like Zach Hyman to do a lot of our grunt work. And he'd hold the puck, and we'd get into position, and I'd get it, and I'd pass it to O, and hopefully he shoots it in the net. Like, that, Hyman is, I think he's a misunderstood player a little bit. I think everybody would like to have, you know, a line like Boston, where you've got Marchand and Pasternak and Bergeron, but not everybody has that, right? Like, you can't find it. And so you could say, well, why don't they load up one line? Well, which line? How are you going to do it? I think Hyman does a really good job. I like him as a player. He's advanced in goals in both of his years. He will advance it again this year. He's strong. He does a lot of the crap stuff that doesn't get noticed for a team. And I don't know what the analytics people think of him or anything like that. I don't particularly care. Should he be on a top line? Maybe not. But Thomas Holmstrom shouldn't have been either. And Pavel Datsyuk and Henrik Zetterberg, they sure liked playing with him.
Yeah, well, and Mitch Marner's the guy you're explaining. Like, you were talking about your own perspective. You want a guy who can shoot, that's Tavares, or a guy who can score, and a guy who can go get the puck, and that's Hyman. So, you know, Marner's coming off a game where he was targeted in Boston. Like, that was a game plan. Get after him, hit him, make him uncomfortable. Carolina's not built the same way, but I would think they're going to try to achieve the same thing. So it's Marner tonight who's probably going to feel the effects of Hyman's, you know, absence. And it's a big opportunity for Connor Brown.
Hey, Brian, if you don't have it, if you don't have the puck, you got to get it back. Now, Mitch Marner can't get it back in a one-on-one battle anywhere near the same way that Hyman can do it. Now it's Connor Brown tonight, and we'll see if that works. Because one thing that I think that I've maybe come to this conclusion right now, 30 games in, is that Patrick Marleau is now, he's better off as a third-line player. Like that, so to move him up to Tavares' line or to have him with Matthews, that hasn't worked. And so, I mean, that's one less option. So it's not like they've got six options here. Oh, let's try this guy. Let's try this guy. They're hoping that Brown goes from the right wing to the left. He gets a little bit, a few more minutes because he's going to get more. He's going to be with more offensive players. But he's not been a threat, Brown, really all year, although he did have a breakaway the other night in Boston. Like, offensively, he's not been a threat, but he's got to be the puck hound. He's got to be the guy that goes and gets it, and he's got to hold it and continue the forecheck in the cycle. And if he can do that, then they're going to be okay for a while here for the two games. But if not, you might see more guys cycled through that position.
Ray, your son played for Mike Babcock, and I'm not trying to dig into like locker room discussions or rah-rah speeches, but what do you think Mike Babcock's approach is after a couple losses? Is it, you know, a lot of talk in the past of Scotty Bowman, if the team's struggling a little bit, he eases off, and when they're winning, he's harder on the players. What do you think the approach is from the coach after a couple losses?
Well, Landon would say that when Babcock would come into the room, it's really quick. Like, the meetings are fast. He gets to his points in a hurry. The tone of them really doesn't change particularly a great deal. And from everybody that I talk to around here, it seems to be the same thing. He gets in. The assistants run their meetings, the penalty kill and the power play. But when Mike comes in to do the big meeting, you know, he tells you what they got to get accomplished. Won't necessarily, I wouldn't think, talk about what they haven't done. He'll talk about what they need to do and what they have, you know, what their goals are for tonight. And I would think a lot of it would be way more firm on the puck, way more direct when they get to the puck. Work harder in the neutral zone, like when they don't have the puck, because Boston went through their middle of the ice like it was Swiss cheese. And then he'll be out. I don't think he's going to stand in there, and from a player's perspective, I'll say thankfully, and give some long speech that nobody wants to hear.
Well, how about that fight in the St. Louis practice the other day? Do you guys see that?
Dude, the best practice fight I've ever seen is Enrico Ciccone and Stu Grimson.
Those are monsters.
Oh. Yeah.
It was a heavyweight tilt, and I got to see it for free, and it was...
Wow.
It was just one of those things. It happened. Ray, do you not agree that the veteran guy that was out of the lineup, it's automatic next day in practice fight, because he wanted to show the coach that he cared?
That was the dangerous guy.
Yeah.
I never wanted to, when we had to do a battle drill or something, you'd go, uh-oh, that guy looks like an ornery bugger today. I do not want anything to do with him. And when I saw that, I'm like, I know it's a big deal today. It probably doesn't happen as much, but that was
every day.
Yeah, but the guy in accounting, he can't digest it. He can't. He's like, oh my god.
Well, no kidding. Your colleague, you're throwing bombs.
Well, imagine the guy in accounting just going up to a guy and throwing bombs at him for a bad email.
Bortuzzo was laying a beating on that kid. Like, I think it was Bortuzzo that was on the right side of the bomb.
Sanford.
Yeah, Bortuzzo and Sanford. Yeah. Sanford.
Like, he was throwing.
Maybe Sanford had it coming.
Well, exactly.
Sometimes you deserve to get clipped.
Yeah.
That's the way it works. No, it's a fun. You know what? I just came off of the UFC, Ray, and I couldn't believe how. I thought people were kind of losing their minds over the. They still have the second best record in the NHL. I understand Tavares. I was saying this about how they need a little more bite. The NHL's not as cannibalistic as it used to be. The Leafs are going to be fine. It's a league of talent, and they got a ton. You know,
only thing that worries me, though, Dutch, is the talent's great. That's obvious. Will they have enough spine, enough backbone to get through 16 wins in the playoffs? Because really, that's what everybody's thinking about.
And I don't.
It's not whether they. And they don't right now.
Yeah, I don't know if they do. I do believe it's a league where you have to learn how to lose before you can win. And they've gone through that process with Boston. And they went to 7 with them last year. Everybody forgets that, too. It wasn't like they got dusted in 4.
Me and Ray spoke last night, and it's like you can't bring back Colton Orr and Fraser McLaren.
No, it was just that's the point, though. Everybody's like, well, we got to make a move. Do the Leafs have to make a trade? Do they got to? You know what? They could help their back end? Yes, absolutely. Will this team play harder in the postseason? Absolutely, because it's postseason, and because of the expectation level in Toronto. I think they are going to be immeasurably better this time around in the postseason than they were last year. Mitch Marner is going to be the better for it. Austin Matthews is going to be the better for it. Dude, the postseason, you have to elevate your game. They hadn't experienced
They deserve the opportunity for another shot, but what the reaction is going to be if they can't get it done. People are going to look back and say, I knew it because they didn't have this. That's just the reality.
That's the way it works. But there's going to be every team in the league that doesn't win the Stanley Cup's going to do the same thing. And they're going to assess their club and look back and go, well, we were lacking a little bit of this. We were lacking a little bit of that. I just found it odd how trippy people got over a 2-game losing streak, and I get it. It's the way they lost to Boston, too, that you know, because of everything that's happened in the past, you know, so you are more sensitive to that, but this team's going to be fine. I mean, I'm looking forward to the postseason.
Well, you got 50 games left. So
yeah, exactly.
don't hold your breath.
Yeah.
The thing I would say is that they had not played quite so well for a couple of weeks. One of the problems they got is right now, I mean, it's a nice problem to have, is even when they play crappy, they're probably good enough to beat most teams anyway. And they've thrown a lot of wins in the bucket like that. So the fact that it was Boston elevates everybody's anxiety for sure. Because had it been, Chicago when they were good, nobody would have even said anything. They would have gone, yeah, whatever. But right now it's important. I'm not saying they need to add, a bruiser, but it would be nice in a couple of spots in their forwards if they were a little stronger, a little more firm. If they added a defenseman that could move the puck that was a little more firm. And maybe they'll get to that. They've got lots of cap space for this year. I think they're in that mix with the very best teams, and to just say, oh, we'll be fine the way we are, I would be, and I know they are, they're identifying what they can add, how they can improve the team, and when they get to into January, you start to look at really doing it. But, man, I wouldn't let this chance go by without giving it a fighter's chance.
Oh, for sure. 100%, Ray. Absolutely. Add another piece. If you can get a back-end guy with a little more sandpaper before the trade deadline, of course, if you can improve your club, it's the Theo Epstein thing. Talk about it all the time. You're doing yourself a disservice. If you've got an opportunity to win a championship, it's incumbent upon
management.
It's incumbent upon you to do it.
But, Dutch, like you just said, everyone is going to react and look back. That's not true. I mean, there's certain teams who have the highest expectations, and then there are other teams who are going to be happy to get in. Like, if Buffalo gets in and they lose in the first round, they're still going to be like, we got in. That's awesome.
No, you can't sell the farm if you're Buffalo.
No, the Leafs aren't there anymore.
That's not what I'm saying. But there's still, every team's just going to assess what they have. Right, Buffalo, there's different expectation levels. For the Leafs this year, though, it's not just get in.
Of course not. Yeah, you got to try to take advantage. You're a really good team. Leafs-Canes tonight on TSN4. 7 o'clock puck drop, 6:30 pregame. Quiz night? Oh, I'm assuming it must be a quiz night.
Always.
Always a quiz night.
One game a week. I've got one question for O before I go. Mm-hmm. What do you think the press meal is here in Carolina?
It's like a barbecue sandwich, right?
Very solid. Pulled pork again.
Is that same? But apparently, Ray, people rave about the press meal there. Isn't it like good?
It is really good. I've got a patterned shirt on today. I purposely did not pick a white shirt due to the potential for splatter.
Yeah.
Barbecue in the South?
I was never into it.
Really? Pulled pork? That's not your thing?
Hate it.
Wow.
Biscuits, too. I don't know how people
like biscuits.
It's just a dried up, it's not fresh.
I love a biscuit.
My best friend, we used to go golfing every morning, and he'd be like, let's go to there's a place called Biscuitville. He's like, I got to get my biscuit. I'm like, not me. I'll meet you at the course.
All right, Ray. We'll catch you tonight.
Okay, boy. Talk to you tomorrow.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline.